The tour continues into the room on the right. Office Baroque is another of Mata Clark's European works. Realized at Antwerp in 1977, he again involves a building in his interests.
Solo che l'ambizione del taglio.
The ambition and the process by which the cuttings had to be undertaken was becoming always more complicated. Also, the geometric forms adopted by the artist in his renderings of the projects were becoming more and more involved. The cone, the sphere, the tripling shapes were becoming more and more present in his work, and despite of this, Mata Clark was never able to realize what he had always wanted to do, something he had already tried at Day's End in New York, to involve the facade of the building in a more predominant way. Because for reasons of structural security, the institutions limited how the building was taken apart, employing him on the condition that nothing would fall and hit passers-by on the head, or that the building would not become a hazard to those who live nearby. It's for this reason that he was unable to make those things that would involve more of the outside than the inside, especially from the external vantage point. Office Baroque is brought back here in the show with a series of photographs and a video documentary that, however, Gordon Mata Clark never saw finished because in the following year, 1978, he died of cancer at only 35 years of age. Your visit to the exhibition continues to the left of the video in a gallery dedicated to two works that, even though different, reflect the need of Mata Clark to conquer new spaces. Here we have Jacob's Ladder and Reality Properties, Fake Estates. Jacob's Ladder is a work realized in 1977 for Documenta 6 in Kassel in Germany. According to the original project, Gordon Mata Clark should have built, as in Tree Dance, a house of nets suspended in midair and attached this time not to trees, but rather to a chimney. Not having obtained the authorization from the organizers, Mata Clark reworked the project and gave life to Jacob's Ladder, a sort of ascent towards the sky, thought to be an homage to his twin brother Sebastian, who killed himself by jumping out of the window of Gordon's loft. On this staircase towards the heavens, visitors were in reality protected by a system of nets that nevertheless do not lessen the sensation of emptiness and frailty, similar to the sensation experienced by the few who had the opportunity to walk along the inside of the building cut by the artist. The longing for the conquest of aerial space was spurred on from an urgency similar to that of Reality Properties' Fake Estates.
The
investigation done by Mata Clark centers itself at a certain point upon a series of lots that were destroyed by urban development, theoretically real plots of land, but not able to be used for any useful purpose. This property, these lots, could be very tiny, like a yard by a yard, maybe a little bigger. But as I was saying before, this property was able to be reached because it was maybe behind a courtyard, behind a suffocating wall of the urban jungle. These small lots could be bought for anywhere from $20 to $25, as much as $50. And so Mata Clark becomes the owner of many pieces of unusable land. Through this process of ownership, Gordon Mata Clark discovers the inner workings of the theoretical business world, that there is no commercial value for all of these unusable pieces of land left by the chaotic development of urban spaces. The interesting thing about what Mata Clark did is that he discovered a whole part of the city entrapped in the ever more crushing arms of a city in which the price per square foot is very high, simply as an experiment to see how much monetary waste there is when all the urban development is over. Turning back into the gallery where you found Office Baroque, the visit continues with the video and photographs of another structural project of Gordon Mata Clark. Here we have Bingo by Ninths of 1974, where the facade of a house is progressively removed in a systematic grid of nine squares superimposed on the shape of a house. As in the game of Bingo, from whence the name comes, box by box, the front of the building disappears to show the inside of the house. And we, who find ourselves spying upon the intimacy of the scene, are at the same time put into the position of voyeur, and sometime witness of that which is private, the things that the walls tend to close and hide. More than uncovering the sacred sphere of private domesticity, just as he has done in Splitting, Gordon Mata Clark confirms with this work his attention to the environment. The House of Bingo, in fact, is found near Niagara Falls, to the eyes of the world a paradise on earth, but home in reality to one of the largest toxic dump sites in the USA.
Un altro lavoro che ha un po' un carattere, diciamo così, performativo, che in qualche maniera è vicino anche a food.
Another work that has a bit of an element of performance art that comes close in some ways to food is Fresh Air, which is presented in a representation here at SMS as Fresh Air Cart, essentially a semi-mobile structure that was used for performance. We have the performance documented here by photos and a video made at Grand Central Station in New York. Fresh Air is essentially a way to help, really, a little ambulance made by hand, comprised of two seats, an oxygen tank, and the oxygen masks. Kind of like a rickshaw that was dragged by Gordon Matta-Clark, assisted as usual by a few friends, that offered for free oxygen, that is clean air, to the commuters found inside Grand Central Station. Naturally, the performance took on a rather curious characteristic because of the secondary role that the people and the dialogue take on, and also the way it turns into a sort of street theater. Essentially, always different, but the concept is rather clear. To give oxygen to the city. We have talked about architecture which is eco-friendly, or the other possibility from the point of view of what is breathable. For this, Fresh Air Cart in some ways binds a whole group of work that is potentially centered on the concept of ecology, of stewardship of the environment, especially in an urban context such as the metropolitan New York. People are fascinated by any activity aimed at creating or providing greater space. I am convinced that which captures the attention for the most part and strikes the imagination of an audience is really the subsoil. It is stronger than them. People are not able to stop and contemplate the foundations of a building under construction. The same happens, even if, to the contrary, with my cuttings, which stop the observer, thanks to their intent to reveal. With these words, Gordon Matta-Clark describes the bond between surface and submergence, the fascination of taking apart and then putting back together. This is an element that is common to circus and sous-sol de Paris. Caribbean Orange, or circus, is perhaps the only real museum commission that Matta-Clark ever received. This project was realized in a building that stood just a few steps from the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago, which was in a phase of expansion, and who was the body who commissioned the operation. It was a curious commission in that it was a commission that would be destroyed in one way or another, so it put into crisis the position of the commissioner, which usually pays for something left behind, a work of art or a permanent installation. Instead, I would say, in respect to the sense of the spirit of the work by Gordon Matta-Clark, the work is destroyed in part by the birth of a new structure, a new museum of contemporary art. Sous-sol de Paris, on the other hand, is a sort of journey into the bowels of underground Paris. The other face of the subject of destruction is that of submersion, as if like an analogy between archaeology and excavation to dig a new foundation.
Sous-sol de Paris è un gruppo di fotografie.
Sous-sol de Paris is a group of photographs that are like a stratigraphic analysis of the Paris underground. Following a series of topographic places from the Opera to Les Halles, Gordon explores the undersoil and the documents through vertical photographs that which one finds in the undersoil, practically like an archaeological investigation of a wishing well, essentially like a reading of a city in vertical and underground. After having seen the monumental works of Gordon Matta-Clark, the show concludes with two works that bring out the more ironic side of the artist and his capacity to make light of things, especially of himself. Here we have Clock Shower and Hair. Matta-Clark filmed Clock Shower, a video here projected in 16mm, of a performance given on the occasion of a show at the Clock Tower Gallery in New York. The artist decided to make the performance literally hanging from the clock tower of the building in which you find the gallery. And, as in a silent movie farce, he proceeds through his morning routine, shower, shave, teeth. But the fact that he is completely dressed does nothing else than to emphasize the surreal aspect of the performance.
In realtà, Matta-Clark voleva fare tutta questa operazione nudo, come era facile.
In reality, Matta-Clark wanted to complete this whole thing nude, as you could easily imagine, but all of the neighbors were scandalized, and in the end he decided not only to dress, but overdress, in an overcoat, hat, etc., to reinforce the absurdity of being dressed under those circumstances. The other and last work of the show, however, is Hair.
Hair, anche questa è una narrativa per cui va un po' raccontato.
Hair is also a narrative which had already been told. For a year, the artist let his hair grow without ever cutting it, letting it obtain a rather long length, as happens when you leave your hair to grow without any care. It began to knot and snarl and became almost like dreadlocks. At a certain point, he decides to make a map of his head. The map is a rather important part of this work. He made a grid map of his skull, each square numbered and corresponding to a lock of his hair. What you see through a series of photos is the division in clumps, well divided one from another, to mark off each clump with a reference number. It is placed in front of a cage, and thanks to the help of strings, they are, little by little, separated from one another and attached to the cage. Then, one by one, each lock is snipped away, and little by little, the artist becomes a young middle-class man again, and the cage remains attached to the locks of hair. The hair can theoretically be reattached to the head using the grid as a guide to recreate the look he had during that year when he didn't cut his hair. The photographs serve as documentation for the event. Naturally, this is a very surreal project, but it is also very ironic.
E naturalmente delle immagini e delle fotografie che avevano permesso di documentare il taglio dei capelli. Naturalmente si tratta di un'operazione estremamente surreale, ma anche molto, molto ironica.
The visit directed by Lorenzo Fusi ends here. In the more information section of your audio guide, you can listen to an interview with Jane Crawford, the widow of Gordon Matta Clark, with art historian Pamela Lee, and with Judith Rusi Kirshner, a member of the Board of Trustees from the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago. The audio guide and interviews can be downloaded from the site radiopapese.org. In order to exit, you must turn back and retrace your footsteps through the exhibit. Thank you so much for your attention, and don't forget to return your iPod. We hope to see you soon at Santa Maria della Scala.